So anyway, we got free coffee out here. Maybe you hit that. But good to have each one of you with us today. Shout out to those of you who listen to the podcast as well. We're going to get there in a moment. But let me just mention a couple other things before we get started. One is a new series next Sunday, just for 2 weeks. How many know it's Valentine's Day coming up? Yeah. Hint, men. That was your wife saying hallelujah, you know. Coming up. So we're going to talk about relationships over the next 2 weeks. And Shanti Feldhahn was our special guest a few years ago, a great author about relationships. And I'm going to steal from her a couple of thoughts. Two big hinge pins that help relationships really flow and thrive, especially in this culture. And so it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be marriage. These two principles that we're going to share over the next couple of weeks will work for any relationship, but it will especially work in marriage. And so because of the proximity of that relationship. And so I believe it's a great series that you can invite somebody to. Because everybody'd like to do better in their relationships, right? Everybody'd like to have better friendships, better relationships in marriage or whatever it is. And so make sure that you do your best to invite somebody. And then also this Wednesday night, we're going to make some noise in the house, all right? It's a night of worship. And so, yeah, so come on out. Night of worship, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Don't miss it. It's going to be a fired up night of worship for an hour, just being in God's presence. And then our 21 days of prayer just ended. And so I know God did something in my life during these 21 days. And I would love to know if he did something for you or did something in you. Maybe God brought a healing. Maybe God did a miracle. Maybe God provided. Maybe God strengthened. God helped in some way in your life in a strategic way. And you're just like, yeah, God did that. And maybe you didn't even think about it until I just said that. And then you're like, oh yeah, that did happen during the 21 days of prayer. And I've been praying more. And so if that happened for you, then let us know. Let me know so that we can rejoice with you and celebrate that together. Today we're talking about our last word of the words that are on these walls in this worship center of worship, connect, serve, and share. We've been talking about three of those for the last 3 weeks. Today, we're going to wrap things up with the word share. And we're going to focus on the power of who we are. Because here's the thing, as we start out today, if you don't know who you are, then you don't know how to live. Think about that. In order to know how to live, you need to know who you are. And we're going to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in just a moment. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll be there for a while. But we're going to look at another scripture first, but we'll just look at that briefly. But here's kind of how this works. Let me set this up. When I'm at an event, a banquet, a dinner, some official kind of thing or whatever, and a bunch of people are gathered, most often somebody will say, because they know who I am, they'll say, Pastor Craig, would you lead us in prayer? Pastor Craig, would you pray over the food? And it's kind of like, we don't know if our prayer will do anything, you know? But we think yours will, and you're probably better connected or whatever. You're more anointed or whatever language they might use. But the thought is, like I can do it better. I'm in a better position to be able to make that happen. It's like, you know, I'm just a normal Christian. And I want you to know today that there's no such thing as a normal Christian. You are filled as a believer with the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Right? That same spirit that brought Jesus back to life after 3 days in that tomb, he lives in you. He lives in every believer, and you have authority in the name of Jesus too. You have authority in Jesus' name just as much as I do. And so today I want us to see who we are in Christ. So we're going to look at this first passage, and here's what I'd like for you to do is, it's in your notes, and what you could do is either print this out from your YouVersion app or whatever, or you could just cut out the notes from today. And I would love for you to take this one from 1 Peter and just memorize it. Just memorize it. Because this is who you are. And I know I learned this verse a long time ago, and it's a powerful verse. It's an identity verse. And so maybe you could put it on your mirror, maybe you could put it on your car dash or somewhere where you'll see it this week, and you'll be mindful of who you are. Let's take a look at what Peter says to us. But you are a what? Chosen people. You're chosen. A royal priesthood. We're all priests unto God. He's speaking to everybody. He's not just talking to me. He's talking to everybody here today. We're all a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're special. You're special. That's right. Yeah, and if you're, I hear some married people getting all lovey-dovey right here. Okay, come on back here. All right, God's special possession. It's important who you sit by, see? especially if you're single. That you may declare, this is what you do. You're a priest, you're chosen, and here's why. Look at this. To declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. How many of you, God reached down one day into the muck, the mire of all of your sin, and he reached all the way down and pulled you out into his marvelous light? How many did that? God did that. And so here's what he says. You are chosen. You're a priest. You're to show forth. You're to illustrate and declare the praises of him. That's what you're assigned to do. Now, let's look at another passage over in 2 Corinthians. Here's what Paul tells us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has what? It's gone. It's gone. And the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin. How many are glad God lost count a long time ago on your sins, right? I'm very glad God quit counting. He just quit because he's forgiven all your sin. And he has committed to us, this is so powerful, the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. You know, in the 50s and the 60s, I think it was, in the particular faith that I grew up in, I was a part of a new generation. They kind of changed the name. But before that, the youth group that I could have been a part of was called CAs, and it was Christ's ambassadors, okay? And this is the verse where they got this from, is we're Christ's ambassadors. And here's the thing, as a new creation, Paul says you're a new creation. A new creation has a new purpose. See, when you come to Christ and you become a new creation, you have a new assignment. You have a new empowerment that God has for your life. And it's much like the caterpillar that you see, and you see that it seems like its only existence is to crawl around and eat. How many can relate to the caterpillar? You know, hopefully not too well. But it just kind of crawls around and eats. And it's just eating, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the whole purpose for it is so it can make what? A cocoon. And it makes this cocoon, and it gets in there. It's in this cocoon. But then one day, it comes out. But it's no longer a caterpillar. Its purpose is not just to crawl around anymore. The new purpose for this new creation is to fly, right? It's to take off. And see, what God has in mind is when you come to Him, you come just crawling around, just eating whatever the world has to offer, and you don't know any better. Maybe that's all you grew up with, that's all you know about. But one day, when God comes into your life, a transformation takes place. The old has gone, behold, the new has come, and you begin to take off and soar, and you get a whole new perspective on what God has, right? It's how many know it's changed in your life, right? It's changed. And here's what he says. He says, it's amazing. He says, and God wants to reconcile the world to Him. And so what He did is He gave that ministry of reconciliation to you, to me. Check us out. He's committed to you and I the message of reconciliation. It's your message, it's your calling, it's your ministry. And reconciliation, I looked this up, and I was trying to find the right word that would help communicate what this is, and there's a lot of different definitions for it, but one of the big words I found that I kind of locked in on, and I want to share with you, is reconciliation can mean reconnect. Reconnect. And here's what God wants to do. His creation, because of sin, is disconnected from Him. The Bible says sin disconnects us from God. And what God wants to do is reconnect us. He wants us to get reconnected to Him. And how He does this is He does it through you and me. Through people like on the video where we just start sharing with somebody else. We start giving a message to them. And Paul says in verse 20, he says, we're Christ's ambassadors. We represent Him. It's like He's preaching, God's preaching through us. Isn't that powerful? Are you getting this today? I mean, that's incredible to me to think that God wants to speak through me. Not just me, but you, all of us. And He wants to do this one-on-one. You know, not just in crowd situations, but He wants to do this one-on-one, and He's committed us to this. So who are you? I'll tell you who you are. Write this down. You're chosen. You're chosen to be sent. That's what Paul says. We are chosen to be sent. We're on a mission. It's like we're on a mission from heaven to earth. And in the simplest way, he says, we're ambassadors. We're ambassadors of God. We've been chosen to be a diplomat. That's what an ambassador is. If I was chosen by the President of the United States to be the representative of the United States to Italy, then I would be ambassador to Italy. And how many know that wouldn't be too bad, you know, to have some good spaghetti and whatever over there. But that wouldn't be my nation, right? That wouldn't be my nation. That wouldn't be my people. I would be representing the United States of America to Italy. So I would be representing everything that this nation stands for. So in other words, here's what Peter says in another place. He says, we're aliens here who have come to Christ. We belong to another planet, so to speak. We're just living on this one temporarily. But our real home is somewhere else where we're going to spend eternity. And in the meantime, as an alien, Paul says, you're an ambassador and you represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You represent the kingdom of God that has come to this earth, that is able to take up residence in this life. Heaven is your home. You weren't meant for this planet. How many are glad you don't have to stay here forever? There's higher ground, right? There's a better place. And so in thinking about, you know, I'm an ambassador. Wow, that's impressive, you know. Think about maybe if you asked some of your friends, if you said, hey, you know, did you know I'm an ambassador? They'd be like, give me a break, right? Give me a break. I'm an ambassador of heaven. I don't think so. I don't think you always act like heaven, you know. I don't think you're always as smart as heaven. I don't see that in you. Let me tell you something. You are a sent one, the Bible says. So it doesn't matter what friends think. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. What matters is what God has established and what God has said over you. And he has said over you, you are sent by me. You are my ambassador to earth to represent me to your friends, your family, your coworkers, to all the students around you. You are the one. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It only matters what God thinks. And God wants to use you. And God can use you. It's just like, do you remember in grade school? I remember these days where the teacher would say, oh, you know, I need to send somebody down to the office. You know, everybody is like, you remember that? Raising their hands and all. Because here's what would happen is I knew the teacher had something in her desk or his desk, and that was called a hall pass, right? And if the teacher signed off on a hall pass and said, here, I need you to take this down to the office for me. And you'd say, okay. And you'd take that, you know, in front of the class and just smile. And then you'd walk down the hall slowly, right? You never walked so slow in all of your life, right? And you'd look in the other classroom at all your loser buddies, you know. Yeah. You go down the hall toward the office, and maybe some other teacher be out in the hallway, and she'd say, hey, young man, young lady, you know, what are you doing out here? And you'd say, hall pass, you know, I'm authorized. Let me tell you something. The enemy may tell you that you don't matter. The enemy may tell you that because of your past, you can't be used. The enemy may tell you that you're too shy, you're too backward, you're too this or you're too that, and you can't be used of God to transform somebody else's life. And here's what you need to do. You need to go ahead and wave your hall pass and just say, "Excuse me. I am Christ's ambassador. I've been sent from heaven to earth with a message that can reconcile, reconnect people to the living God." That's who you are. Look at John chapter 15, verse 16. It says, "You did not choose me." That's what Jesus said. "You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you so that you might go." So everybody say that with me. You might go. That's what we're supposed to do, is not stay and hang out, but we're to go and bear fruit that will last. So here's the thing, is God has chosen you, God has appointed you, and the purpose that he's done this is so you will go and represent him to other people. And so God wants us to be his chosen instrument in the world. And we get a picture of this in Acts chapter 9. Here's what it says. "The Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man, Paul,'" he's talking about, "'is my'" what? "'Chosen instrument to'" what? "'Proclaim my name to the Gentiles.'" We see it again. Do you see the connection? When God chooses people, he chooses it not just to bring them to him, but to send them for him. You see that? Are you with me? And it's over and over again. And so the Apostle Paul says, this is how it happened to me. God chose me out and said, "I'm his chosen instrument, and I want to declare over everyone at Crossroads Church today, you are God's chosen instrument to go and to proclaim his name to those that do not know him." That's who you are. That's who you are. So the purpose of why you're at work is not just to make money. That's not it. And some of you don't even like where you work. And so here's a thought. You're not just there for you. You're not just there for you. You may be there and you don't even like being there, but you're there for that person. You're there to be an ambassador. You're there to be salt and light, as Jesus said. You're to be light in a darkened place. And if you say, "Oh, Craig, you just can't believe how dark the place is where I work," then you ought to be shining all the brighter, right? Because if it's really dark, you can see a little bit of light. And so all you do is you shine that light. Or maybe it's at school and you think, "Well, why am I at this school? And I don't even like being at school," or whatever. But you're not there just to learn. You're there to show. You're not on that team just to play football. You're not on that team just to play baseball or whatever it is. You're there to show forth Jesus to other people. And to demonstrate God to others. See, your family that you think, "Oh my gosh, another family gathering." Let me tell you something. God may want you to be there. Not for the food. Not so you can argue politics. Or something else. God may have you be there so you can be his ambassador to others. And it's like, in the video, it's like sowing seed. You sow and somebody else waters, but God gives the increase. And you just never know when it's going to hit. Right? You just never know. There's a guy that I've been reaching out to for a while, and at the gym, and I've been talking to him about coming to church. Hey, I'm gonna be there this weekend. He's not been here yet, okay? But he's gonna come, and I believe he will come one day. But what's funny is, one day he introduced me to somebody else, and he introduced me as Pastor Craig, and so I just went ahead and rolled with it. And so I was like, yeah, I'm pastor of Crossroads Church and whatever. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I said, well, you know, you should come to my church. And they said, well, I will. I'll come this weekend. And she turned to him and said, you're going to be there too, right? And he's like, yeah, going to be there. He's still not come. But she hardly ever misses, all right? And so you just never know. If you'll scatter seed, what God will do with it, because again, you scatter the seed and God comes along and he gives the increase. He causes it to happen. So you do the same thing. You know, and you can do that in ministries within the church even. You know, the CSM ministry. You know, you say, well, I'm 29 now and uncool. Well, that's okay, because everybody knows it anyway, right? Or 49 or whatever it is. But if you can love on teenagers, come on, somebody. If you can just love on teenagers and minister to them, it can be awesome, right? And here's the thing. You can lead a life group. You say, oh, no. I don't know everything about the Bible. I've never read the Bible through all the way. And I try to read the Bible through, and I never make it happen. I've tried. And oh, I couldn't lead a life group. Let me tell you something here. Here's two things you need to be able to do to lead a life group. Love God, love people. Can you do that? Then you can lead a life group. All right? Because all you got to do is get the conversation started. It's just get people engaged with God's word and just loving on each other and ministering in the name of the Lord. See, you may have a burden that comes on you for your boss. And you may think, oh my gosh, you know, she intimidates me. She's such a great leader or whatever. I just don't know how to say something about Jesus or whatever. And you just start praying. And then the opportunity can come. The opportunity can take place because you are God's ambassador in that workplace to show forth the praises of him. It could be just as simple as you're good at repairing cars. And you find some single gal, maybe some single mom that's struggling, and you hear about her car having a situation, and you think, well, I know how to fix cars. And so maybe you say, hey, somebody told me about your car and everything. If you'll buy the parts, I'll donate all the labor. Matter of fact, I'll even do better. I'll buy the parts and I'll do the labor. That'd be even better. And how many know if you did that, it would show Jesus to somebody? Hello? It would show Jesus to someone. And so it doesn't matter what any person thinks. It doesn't matter how it works and whatever. You just do it. You just be an ambassador. You just go in his name. You just know that you are chosen and sent to be sent by God. And here's the second thing to write down is you were chosen as well to represent God. You're chosen to represent God. See, he says, I'm an ambassador. So if I'm an ambassador to Italy, I don't go to Italy to share my own ideas. I don't go to Italy to share with them what Craig White thinks. I go as a representative of the United States. I go under the authority of this country, of the government that sent me. And as God of the kingdom of God has sent you, you go to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords at your workplace, at your school place, wherever you go, you are representing him. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, I didn't even come. He was the most awesome ambassador, was he not? Sent from heaven to earth in a God in a bod, right? And he showed us, he says, you see me, you've seen the Father. And this is what he said, I didn't come to do my will, I came to do the will of him who sent me. And that's what you do. That's what I do. We don't do what we want to do. We don't say what we want to say. We're representing him. Come on, somebody. This is a lot better than you're acting like right now, all right? I'm telling you. And so here's the thing, is a lot of times, you know, just like they call on me to pray and different things like that, then also when you're in this position, a lot of times people think, well, you know, you need to live here, but I'm a common Christian, you know. Here's what I'd like to say. I would say, don't try to pull me down to a lower level. Why don't we all just come up to an upper level, right? That sound all right? Just all, because we're all representing Jesus this week. We're all representing the imagery of the kingdom of God to other people. We're all showing and bringing heaven to earth. And so it's huge what each and every one of us do in and through our lives. Now, let me just give a practical imagery of this. Many years ago, this is a powerful story for me because I was so close to it. Rochelle, my wife, was commuting into Chicago. It's back when we lived up by Chicago and the church was so small and she was trying to help out. And so she would work down at Madison and Wells in the Loop every day for several years. She would commute and be about a 12-hour day with the commute and the work to make money for us to continue planting this church that we were doing. And I worked some odds and ends jobs as well. But she just stepped out and did that. Give it up for my wife, because she's awesome. She's awesome. She's awesome. She did that for several years, and most times she would ride a bus, because the bus picked up close to where we lived, and the train was considerable distance to be able to catch it. And so the bus would pick her up, and I think it was the very next stop, it'd pick up some other people. One of them was this one gal, and she and Michelle just started developing a friendship, and that's kind of how it worked on the bus. They just kind of watch out for each other. If somebody fell asleep, they say, hey, get up. This is your stop, you know. You better get home. And one day, Rochelle was running a little bit late to catch a bus from work, and they were pulling off, and they saw her running. They said, whoop, stop the bus. Here's Rochelle. And the guy just hit the brakes on the bus, and they got her on. And so that was kind of environment that they had. And so this gal and her just started developing a friendship. And she didn't really talk to her about what I did for a living or why we were living there and all church-wise and all that whole thing. Instead, she just had this friendship. And one day, after some weeks or maybe a few months, a friendship, she shared with Rochelle how my marriage is in trouble. And I don't think we're going to make it. And she was just feeling the weight of that. And Rochelle says, well, listen, I'll be praying for you. And she said, oh, thank you. You know, she says, as a matter of fact, why don't we meet? Why don't we go get coffee or something on our day off or whatever, and we can just talk. She said, oh, I'd love that. And so they met and got together and hung out, and she just shared with her everything that was going on, and of course, tears and everything, heartbroken. And at the end of it, Rochelle said, not only will I be praying for you, but would you like to accept Jesus into your life? Because I believe He'll do for you what he did for me. And I believe he's really what you need right now. And she said, yes. Right there in that coffee shop or wherever it was, she says, yes, I would like that. And so they just joined hands, and Rochelle led her to Jesus, and Jesus came in to her life right there as she shared with her. And then Rochelle said, now, you need to get in a church, and you need to keep growing in your faith. And she said, well, I'll just come to your church. And she said, well, you don't have to come to our church. You know, you can go to any church. There's a lot of good churches, and you can go to any. No, I'm coming. If I like your church. She hadn't even been there yet, you know. But I like your church. And here's what she was saying. If people in your church are like you, I like your church. And that's what everybody. That's what everybody ought to be saying as we share with others. People ought to say, well, hey, I don't know about going to any other church. I like your style. I like your church. And I like you. And so I want to come there. And I'm telling you, you just never know what opportunities you're going to get. You will meet people I will never meet. There'll be people on your bus. There'll be people on your side of town. There'll be people in your community. There'll be people at your work environment, your school, in your class, wherever it is, that I'll never meet. And all of us need to be able to speak on behalf of God. And some of you may say, well, I don't know how to speak on behalf of God. I don't know about that. Let me share a story. Jesus and the disciples were going through Samaria. As a matter of fact, the Bible says they had to. They didn't have to, but Jesus wanted to. And here's why he wanted to go through there. He knew he was going to have a divine encounter with somebody. And so while the disciples go off to get some food and go for lunch, Jesus sits down at a well. And a woman comes out in the heat of the day. Why would she come out at that time? She came out because she hoped nobody would be there. But here's this Jewish guy there. And Jewish guys don't talk to Samaritan women. But this Jewish guy did. And he says, woman, could you give me a cup of water? And she says, well, why are you, a Jewish guy, talking to me, a Samaritan woman? Because there was prejudice. Now, I know we don't deal with this today, but back in that day, they had prejudice, and people didn't talk to each other and acted certain ways toward other people, and so that's how it was. And so Jesus says, woman, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for water, and I'd give you living water that would spring up inside of you that you'd never be thirsty again. And she said, I'd like some of that. And he said, I bet you would. How about you call your husband and come back? And she says, well, I'm not married. And he says, well, that's right. You've been married 5 times. And the guy you're living with now is not your husband. She said, I think maybe you're a prophet. What clued you in, honey? Right? I mean, but I want you to know that God knows every mistake you've ever made. He knows every mess up, every screw up, every bad choice, every bad decision in your life, and he still wants to talk to you, be with you. Come on, on somebody. If he did that for you, give him a praise right now. Wow. Wow. He knew everything about her, but he wanted to talk to her. So he shares life with her, and she goes back to town. But she doesn't just bring the boyfriend. The Bible says she brought the whole town. She brought the whole town. She said, come see a man who told me everything about me, but he still accepts me. And if he accepted me, because I'm out here by myself in the heat of the day, because I know how you all talk about me other times of the day, and so you know how I go out there by myself, but I'm telling you, he accepted me, and if he accepted me, he'll accept you. He'll accept you. And the whole town starts to come out. Now, let me tell you something. If she could win her whole town to Jesus, you can win your school, you can win your work, you can win your office, you can win your neighborhood, you can win the whole West Side to Jesus. Oh, but I'm just a stay-at-home mom. No, you're not. You are a mom strategically located by the Holy Spirit of God to connect with other stay-at-home moms and to go to sports teams together. And instead of hanging out and chit-chatting, you're supposed to be there to pick up on things like, I need something in my life. I'm hurting right now. I don't feel good. I don't think my marriage is going to last. I'm concerned about my kids right now. I'm concerned about our oldest. I'm concerned about our youngest. And you're strategically placed there so that you can speak words of life to them. See, I'm just a student. Craig, you know, I'm just a student. I'm just getting started, man. No, you've been strategically located in that geometry class, all right? You've been strategically located there. You are located there to speak to others who need to know something more than numbers. They need to know a name that is above every name, that at that name one day every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord of all. You're there for a reason. You're there in that fraternity for a reason. It's not just a hangout. It's not just for the camaraderie. You're an ambassador to your fraternity. You're an ambassador to the teachers that are there. You're not just, you may say, well, I'm an entry-level teller, bank teller, for goodness sake. No, you're a secret agent sent there by the Most High God to represent Jesus to people who do not know him, who don't know his name, that don't know why he came, that don't understand what can happen in their lives, that all things can become new. You're filled with the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, and that Spirit can give life to anybody. You're Christ ambassador. Let me just share a couple things and then we'll wrap this up. Did you know why we remade the Welcome Center? A few months ago, we started working toward that. And some of you, if you've been around for at least a few months, you know how things have changed. And here's what happened. First of all, big shout out to the Life Builders. Those folks who give above and beyond normal offerings, normal tithe to the Lord. We have Life Builders in this church that say, he's done over and above for me. I want to do over and above for him. And so our Life Builders give over and above and help us with things like the lobby remake. Well, we not only remade the lobby, but we expanded the Welcome Center because I had people didn't know where it was. I was like, well, you know, over at the Welcome Center, they say, now, where is that? And they've been coming here for years. And I thought, we've got a problem. And so now you know where it is. And here's why. Because I want every guest to know you matter to God. And you matter to us. You matter to us. So we've got a special place. It's special. And we'll just keep making it more special. And I, my hope is all of us will keep bringing people to where we have to make it bigger. We may have to make it two level or something. I don't know. But what I do know is we're making space for people. And the invite cards that we have these on your way out today, we've got some invite cards. And we not only have these special ones that we made up for today, and they're going fast, by the way, but I think there's a group of 10 rubber banded together that you can pick up. But start praying for 10 people that you could reach. And if you don't know 10 people, you need to get out more often. Okay? And you need to quit hanging out with Christians all the time and get around some people who need Jesus. Because you just never know. And let me just share real quick. I was with a guy. He's a pastor of a huge church down in Atlanta, Georgia. And this week he was sharing in a small group that I was in about what he had done. He felt like he should start praying for some celebrities. And so he's praying for some pop singers and different people on Tuesdays. And then he felt like he'd pray for Michael Jordan too. And so he was just picking out some people and thought, boy, wouldn't it be great if Michael Jordan became a devout follower of Jesus and became an outspoken Christian? And then he thought, well, that's crazy. Who am I to be praying for Michael Jordan? You know, I'm probably never going to meet the guy, and I don't know. You know, and he actually almost thought maybe that's a little too big. And then he thought, no, nothing's too big for God, right? And so he did. He prayed, and pray every Tuesday, pray for a long, long time. And a few weeks ago, he got invited to play golf at this special resort place that's reserved for only a few people. And it's where a lot of the Atlanta Falcons live and the Braves and some of these rich sports guys live and have their homes around this area, and they play golf there. It's very exclusive. And so, but he has a guy that attends his church that's a member there. And so he invited him. So he thought, well, you know, it's an opportunity and everything. So he went. And he gets there, and they're about ready. They're in line to tee off at the first hole. And so as they're in line and waiting for their turn, a few Escalades, two or three black Escalades pull up across the way. And his friend, once they get out of the vehicles, his friend takes off running toward the Escalades. And he thought, what in the world is he doing? And he saw his friend take his cap off, and then he, you know, stood there a little bit, and then came back with cap back on, and he says, dude, that's Pastor, that's Michael Jordan. And he signed my hat. You should go over there and let him sign something. And he says, I'm not going to bother him. I'm sure he gets that all the time, and he's here to have a good time. He's there with his friends and whatever. I'm not going to do that. And so they went on, got ready, got kept in line. And as things would be, Michael Jordan and his four buddies were right behind them. And so through the first nine holes, his buddy that the pastor's playing with kept saying, you need to go back there and have Michael sign something for you. And he's right behind us. And he said, I am not going to go back there. We just need to keep playing. Nothing like somebody holding you up so you can sign something of theirs and whatever. I'm not going to do that. And so at the ninth hole at this particular country club, this is probably in like where you play, but where they were playing, they have a special eatery at the ninth hole. okay? Because you know you can't play 18 holes without stopping for a cheeseburger or fries or whatever, or milkshake or something, you know? And so the pastor and his friend went inside, and they're sitting there and getting Coke and sitting down just, you know, and as they were doing that, Michael and his friends, which, you know, normally you only get to play a foursome, but when you're Michael Jordan, you can play five players, all right? And so he had five with him. And so they're playing through. And so the friend looks up and he says, "There's Michael up on the hill. You need to go now. Now is your opportunity, Pastor." And when he said, "Now is your opportunity," he said it felt like the Holy Spirit saying, "You've been praying for that guy for how long now? And he's right up the hill from you. I brought him right here. What are you doing sitting there?" And so he said, "You know what? I'll be right back." And he got up, ran up the hill, and Michael's four friends were up at the tee, and Michael was sitting in the golf cart. And so he came up and said, "Hi, Mike, my name," and he introduced himself as pastor of a church in town. And he said it was kind of like shaking a wet noodle. You know, it's like, okay, whatever. What do you want? Because you want something. And he says, "Michael, I don't want anything, but what I do want is I just wanted to let you know that I pray for you every Tuesday. And I've been praying for you for months now. And I just wanted to come up here and let you know that. And I also have a card." And it shares just a little bit of the story. He had a little track card that shares about inviting Christ into your life. And he says, "The words on this card changed my life. And I think maybe it could do the same for you if you'd let it. And so I'd like to ask you to read it." And he says, it went from a wet noodle to a vice grip. And he says, "Pastor, thank you for praying for me. And thank you for giving me this card. And I want you to know that I will read your card. And I just want to thank you for your prayers." And he walked off. And later, as it would be, as they finished, he actually passed Michael one more time as Michael was heading back to the Escalades to take off. And he says, "Pastor, I want you to know I'll read your card." Let me tell you something. You just don't know. You just don't know. If you just get to praying, and if you just get to believing who you are, and you would just be in a position, you never know what God will do and how God will use your life. He will. He will. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that you've chosen us. I know we don't feel worthy. And we think, why couldn't you do it yourself? But God, you delight in using imperfect people, just like that woman at the well, that'll turn a whole city upside down because of her testimony. Who are we to think that you wouldn't use us? You can and you will. Maybe you're here today, and after hearing maybe again how you're chosen, You are chosen by God to be His ambassador, His representative. Maybe you'd say, Craig, I need to do a better job at that. I need to clean up my act a little better. I need to clean up my attitude when I go to work and realize I'm not just there to make money. I'm not just there trying to get a new job. I may be a secret agent sent there by my Heavenly Father to make a difference in somebody's life. And how many of you are here and you'd say, Craig, I don't want to miss my opportunity. I don't want to miss my chance to share the light of Jesus to somebody else. I want to be better at it. I want to do a better job this week starting out. And then from now on, I want my light to shine for Him. How many would join me in raising a hand and saying, yes, that's me. Yes, I want to be used. Hands all over this place. Father in heaven, you see our hands in the air. And God, help this message to go from our head to our heart, to where in our hearts we're sensitive to the people around us. We're hearing with listening ears. We're attentive to those around us. We're not just passing through the room. We're there to maybe share Jesus, to share hope, to share help, to make a difference. And so God, this week, use us at school. Use us at work. Use us at the little league practices and the soccer practices, to not just hang out the sidelines and talk politics, but instead talk the power of Jesus to be able to change a life forever. God, I know you can use anyone. You can use all of us. Maybe you're here today, others of you, and you'd say, Craig, I'm no ambassador of heaven. I don't even really know God. I haven't even started at square one. But maybe you're here today so that I could be used to speak for God to you. And maybe the Holy Spirit is now working inside you and you feel something I've felt, and that's the drawing power of God. That's what that is inside of you. You feel God drawing you to Himself. And He's maybe using my words to draw you closer to Him, to surrender your life so that He can reconnect you to Himself. And if you're here today and you'd say, Craig, I need connecting. I need reconnecting to God. And I want God in my life. And I'm willing to accept Jesus as Savior of my life today. Would you just raise a hand and say, yeah, that's me. Please pray for me. How many are here? All right, back here, God bless you. Over here, God bless you. Back here, God bless you. Hands in different spots around the room. So we're going to pray. Church family, nobody prays alone here. We pray together. And so let's pray together and just lift this prayer to the Lord, and especially if you raised a hand, just lift it to Him. Just say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me, to pay my sin's penalty so that I can be free. As much as I know how, I surrender my life to you. Thank you for coming in and transforming my life today. I want to be what you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Church family, come on. Worship God, praise Him.